Hi, and welcome to this week's version of the Center's Kingdom Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Merle Skinner. I'm the Executive Director of the Christian Family and Children's Center. This is a ministry of the Center and something we're doing, engaging people around issues around faith and family and culture. Excited to have this week Brian Gieseman, you know, on the show. So, Brian, it's good to have you here.
I'm very happy to be with you and appreciate this wonderful opportunity to share what God is doing in our lives and our ministry. And I'm just very grateful and excited for people to hear what we have to say today.
It's great. Brian, you've been doing this a long time. You've been in ministry a long time. You got some amazing things going now. Brian's the executive director or president of Eagle Ranch Ministries, and they have done... we're just both old, Brian. Let's just face it. We've been, but they've done many things throughout the in the area and in other places, and they have this cool, really thing going on in Haiti that we're going to talk about all those things today. But Brian, why don't you just give us an update on yourself, who you are, and how Eagle Ranch got started? I'd love to hear about that.
Well, my wife and I, many years ago, we were young, very young. just out of Bible college, and I was working in prison ministry and business at the same time, and saw a lot of need with men coming in and out of the prison system. And through that, we developed a burden to have a discipleship program that would help them get to a better place in their life and really find God's purpose for their life. And we started that. My background was agriculture, so we started that with farming. And so long story short, we ended up with a mission board that would help us. We were just 24 years old at that time. Ended up in New York for 5 years in a ministry that was very large as far as working with teenagers. And that's where we started our ministry. And ended up moving not too far from here, at the bottom of the mountain, Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania, back in 1991. And so we did residential, we called it residential development and training.
Ha!
And that's what we called it.
RDD.
But, yep. And so we worked primarily with men, and they would come and stay with us at the farm for 6 months. It was residential, so I had these guys 24/7, and it was just a wonderful ministry, an opportunity to reach these men for Christ, but also to see God working in their lives and them being able to discover the talents and the abilities that God's given them and to develop those things so that, that once they were done with our program, they could go out and use what God has taught them there at Eagle Ranch. Through that, we did that for many years, and I would say about 15, 16, 17 years ago, the Lord phased us out of that residential type program, and there's many reasons for that. But and we went into small groups and counseling and encouraging families, not just with addictions, but also with all types of needs, with grief and depression and whatever was taking place in a person's life. And we all go through those things. We all experience those things in our lives. And about that same time, an opportunity to be involved with Haiti or to go on a missions trip. That's the only reason I went, just to be a part of some guys that were building a school over there. And that's where God used initially to get me at least exposed to that mission or to that country, and that was in 2007.
So, Brian, I want to talk a little bit about that in a minute, but let me back up just for a second. You are a pastor, correct?
I'm ordained,
right? And so how did that get woven in, you know, to this calling and this ministry? Were you a pastor first and then went into ministry, or did you decide that that was something you had to get trained to do as a part of what you were doing?
Well, the process of my whole life in ministry was missionary type outreach. Mm-hmm. I never really had a desire to pastor a church. But some of the responsibilities and some of the parts of ministry that I had included baptism. It included marriage.
Yeah.
Some of the guys would, you know, they would be living together instead of being married.
Right.
And they had a desire to be married. And so in just receiving counsel from some of my supporting pastors and things, they thought it would be a good idea. You ought to get it ordained. And then you would have the status or so to, you know, take care of that for people.
So you've always been a paraministry then. I mean, yes. You really essentially, yes. Which is interesting. We are as well too at the center. And it's interesting that all of that came out of, I don't know if you have a direct connection to this, but we've done a couple podcasts on the Jesus movement and how that affected ministry, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and you're about the right age for that. So yeah. I don't know how that all played out in your life, but
yeah.
We keep thinking about that, how God called people into everyday walks of ministry, not just mm-hmm. church ministry, into spreading things out. So one of my concerns is we're not seeing as much of that happen now as we have recently. And that's where, in my mind, the rubber meets the road. So that's, you start looking, you start going on a mission trip and saying, hey, there's something we could do about this.
Right.
So if you're ready, why don't we just jump into the Haitian kind of thing and talk about, first of all, I mean, you were just telling me there's crazy stuff going on. I mean, always crazy stuff going on in Haiti, right? I mean, I've been to the Dominican Republic and looked mm-hmm. at Haiti from across the border, but I've never been in town and worked with people that are there. But always just talk a little bit about what's going on right now and a little bit of history of Haiti.
Well, like I said, back in 2007 was my first touch in the country. 2010, the earthquake took mm-hmm. place, where hundreds of thousands of people were killed. And another team was going to go over, and I was invited to be a part of that team of March of 2010, shortly after that earthquake happened, and really had no interest to go back. Matter of fact, I told the team that was going, I'm not interested, I don't have time,
You never say that, right?
No. And so it was on my heart and mind, and they kept on me, you know, kept asking, we'd like a pastor to go over. There's that pastor thing again.
Yeah.
And then my wife said to me one night, Brian, you ought to just go, you know, help him out, take the time. And I said, okay. And that was her regret later on. But I went on that trip, and God just really got a hold of my heart. And one of the Haitian pastors there was a gentleman that just him and I connected, and he invited me back that same year in July for a pastor's conference, and I invited my pastor to come with me for that July conference, and we did that for several years. And so that was kind of the start, mm-hmm. and my heart for Haiti grew. My heart for the children. I went into an orphanage, visited an orphanage, and that just wrecked me for days. I was just wrecked. I just couldn't get that image out of my mind of those children.
Yeah, been there, done that. Boy, you walk in a third world country and see that, it just...
Yeah.
If people aren't moved by those kinds of things, their hearts are really hard.
Oh, it just killed me. And I... So the third year we did this in 2013 now, I met some children from Northwest Haiti. And each year we were growing closer and closer to these few pastors, just a few pastors that were coming from Northwest Haiti to be a part of this conference. And Pastor Terry and I, we would always give all our clothes. I mean, we went back with empty suitcases, just mm-hmm. trying to help these pastors in Northwest Haiti and encourage them and try to support them what we could. And that third year, they bring these kids from their region, and they were homeless children. They told me about these 70 homeless children that were in Northwest Haiti. And here I was playing with them and interacting with them, and we couldn't speak each other's language, but there was such a connection.
Yeah.
And they grabbed the hold of, they stole my heart. What can I say? So I go home to my wife and I said, hey, I got to go to Northwest Haiti. So 2 months later, I'm in Northwest Haiti.
Now, can I stop you just for a second? I'll keep that train of thought, but I don't want to go too far down this bunny trail, but one of our focus on our podcast is helping people interact with this and not just hearing that's a great story, but how does this relate to my life? So God clearly had something going on with you there. And it wasn't that, and again, I'm all for being intentional. I mean, making plans and moving forward and things like that. But it sounds like that it was the need that drew you to Haiti, right? And that when you got involved in that need, God be able to speak in your heart. Is that true?
That's absolutely. That's where God took us, you know.
So what would you say to somebody who is fighting that right now in their life? In other words, they're seeing that they want to do something, they could do something, but they're struggling because it just doesn't seem to make sense, Brian.
Well, a big part of that is cultural.
Yeah.
Our American culture teaches us to look out for number one.
Yeah.
Me, myself, and I. Mm-hmm. And even in ministry, when we were in full-time ministry, there was a wrestling there within my wife and I. What in the world does this have to do with us right now?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Because we knew this was bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
And so our American culture is, you know, we're kind of considered a giving nation. But we give because we can, right?
Out of abundance, right?
Out of abundance. But the sacrifice, what we would consider a sacrificial giving is rare. Mm-hmm. And just to say how God touched our hearts was what a privilege and honor God has given to us. Mm-hmm. I would love for people to understand that.
I agree, Brian. I think people miss that.
They miss it.
I watch this happen all the time. They'll talk about coming to work at a ministry or doing something, but I just can't afford it, you know. And what my heart at this point in my age, you know, when of course God has taken care of us, we're fine. I'm not wondering where the next meal is going to come from.
Right.
But I look at that and I think, boy, you are going to miss so much if you don't follow what the Lord's calling you to do there.
That's right.
It's a hard thing. So I didn't want to, I know we could spend a whole podcast on that, but I guess with somebody like you that's lived a full life, mm-hmm. you know, you responded to that.
Right.
But you were struggling, right? I mean, I think people struggle with that. They think that this calling is going to be poof and, you know, and then we're going to walk off into the sunset. Yeah. It's not that way at all. It's a struggle to walk out our faith, isn't it?
It is. And it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. God challenges us, which is fine because when God calls you, he meets the need. Mm-hmm. And he goes far beyond just the need. And he grows a vision that it would have scared us to death if
you didn't know it at
we
all.
Would have seen everything at the beginning of what's taking place right now. You know, just for example, that the start of that was we need to feed the children. Because I get to Northwest Haiti. 2 days the children are without food.
Wow.
They were, you know, they hadn't eaten in 2 days. There's no food. No. So we buy food. And so that was the initial, we got to feed the kids. Mm-hmm. And then there was no place for them to live. They were in these little huts and divided out. And there's a lot of detail I could give how Hurricane Sandy wiped them out. A lot of story there mm-hmm. that I'll not get into. But basically they were homeless. So the second part was housing. And right away, feeding was one thing, but building this building that was going to fit 70 children was like, holy mackerel, how's this going to happen?
Yeah.
And
God's giggling, right?
Exactly. And so, you know, God took us one step at a time is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And he proved himself over and over again in meeting that need. And there's just so many stories that are amazing that, you know, provided what's taking place there right now.
Right. And I'm sure the sacrifice on your end, I mean, I'm not talking, I'm sure it was some money sacrifice, but the reality is sometimes it's, what am I doing here?
You know, right,
I mean, God, is it really me? So that's really cool. So let's dive into them. Mm-hmm. What'd you do in Haiti? Like, you know,
what are you doing?
I guess okay, is really a better question, right?
That was the beginning start, right? So, basically what's taken place is, we've built an orphanage that's two floors. It's all block concrete and steel. It's all built by the Haitians, by hand, no machines, no concrete mixers, anything like that, which is just absolutely amazing to see the video of that. But, so there is an orphanage there. We house 160 children today.
Wow.
In that orphanage. There's a church there. Those few pastors that I originally met, now we have 10 church plants throughout that region of Northwest Haiti. We are involved with supporting those pastors, training those pastors, encouraging them and their families. And so we have the orphanage, we have this church backing for the orphanage there in the northwest part of Haiti. There's a medical clinic. There's a pharmacy now.
Wow.
We bought a farm several years ago, and so that's producing to provide food and also to sell food there in that local region.
It's a complex, a real community. I mean,
yes,
true, a community complex. That's yes. really exciting, right?
And in all that, you have, we built infrastructure of electricity through solar. We dug wells, different things like that, water for the ministry. What else do we have? We have a radio station there. So they're broadcasting every day the gospel. And it's the only Christian radio station in Northwest Haiti. What else can I say? We built an airport.
Wow.
Was the last thing that we accomplished. And so that enables us to fly right in within 5 minutes of our mission. It's done it's been an amazing blessing for just the whole community, for industry there. Everything's grown mm-hmm. in that part of Northwest Haiti. And so the local government there is very appreciative of what's been taking place. And we're just so grateful what God is doing in not just developing our children, but also developing the area churches and the whole community in that region. One of the exciting things that through this, now this has been 10 years now,
okay,
and those 70 little kids are now our college students.
Wow.
So we've seen around 50 of our orphanage children have graduated from college over there in Haiti.
That is amazing. So, and that's kind of, we started a connection here a little bit about education. We'll talk about that in just a minute.
Yeah.
And we do have some partner ministries in ACSI schools and other kinds of Christian schools too. So the reality is, it'll be interesting. We can chat a little bit about that. I want to be careful of time, what's happening? I mean, Haiti has always had struggles with being unstable and things. Can tell us a little bit about what's going on there now, and how does that fit in the context of the history, and how does that affect your community?
Well, Haiti's a mess. Everybody's considered Haiti a mess.
Yeah.
The U.S. has always told Americans, don't travel to Haiti.
Yeah.
For 10 years since I've been going there, don't travel to Haiti. But it has escalated. The president, the last president we had in Haiti, who was a good man, he was actually a president for the people, was assassinated a couple of years ago. And since that time, everything has, as far as gang violence, gang power, has taken over the capital of Haiti. I believe it's 90% now of the capital of Haiti is controlled by gangs. Since the president's assassination, the country has been operated under a prime minister who has not been good for the people, hasn't been good for the country. And now It's even escalated to countrywide protest, which makes it a lot more dangerous throughout the country. Hmm. You see, the gang violence was isolated in the Capitol, the danger of that violence did not affect our ministries in Northwest Haiti. They were far removed from that. But now the violence and the protesting, they call it manifestations, that take place within the country because of inflation, because of the violence, because of the killings, it's just escalated throughout the country. And so now the kids aren't even attending school this week.
Wow.
Because it's gotten so bad.
It's dangerous, huh?
Yes,
so.
Right.
So this takes us to another kind of a whole piece. Now, Brian, you approached us because the idea was perhaps some of these kids could come to and do a year or two at Champion at our high school,
right.
And with international students. And we have some history with that and would love to do that. That would be an amazing kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we've actually played around and talked about that and actually started some things. This kind of brings us into the current immigration questions that are going on in our country, which are legitimate questions. I mean, we just saw the House, or I think the Senate, killed a bill yesterday that they were trying to make some movement on this. But what's your thoughts about that? I mean, I know we've tried. We're actually working with you a little bit with a couple of our legislators' offices to try to see if we can maybe grab a couple students. So I want to frame this for our audience. So we're not talking about opening doors and bringing kids, you know, gangs into, but actually Brian's heart is, and I'll let him share it, but Brian's heart is that we could train kids so that they could maybe come and get an education, experience America, maybe go to college here, whatever the Lord would call them to, but then to go back, not just to escape Haiti, which many people want to do. And you've got a whole team in place that's actually supporting some of that process.
Right.
But because of the current immigration things, we can't even begin to get one or two students, you know, here. So you want to talk a little bit about that, Brian, and just your thoughts about that? Because I think we get stuck in these global political conversations, which I did. This is the first time.
Yeah.
Now, I've been on mission teams to Mexico. I've been on mission teams to, you know, to Southwest PA, but Southwest, you know, part of the country. Yeah. And it's true. Like, you watch what's going on at the border. It's a mess. This is not good. Even though we need people in our country, we don't have enough workers. Mm-hmm. This illegal immigration is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But here's an opportunity for us to really try to touch some people and actually help a country and help us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're frustrated by the same process too. So, sorry, I may have taken all the story there, but
it's something that we have thought about for years. Mm-hmm. What impact would it have on our Haitian children to have the opportunity to come to America and experience this country, experience its opportunities of some of the education. I'm not completely happy with the education system in America.
No one is right now, Brian. It's a mess.
You know, whatever. But and what they teach and things like that. But under the circumstances of how the country of Haiti has digressed, my opinion of that, of them coming here, has changed over the years. And so we have tried to put a plan together to help a couple of our kids come here. And, and we talked to you about partnering in the educational piece of it to bring our kids here so that they could be educated, they could learn English, and have the opportunities to start out with. And the U.S. government started a parole program for the country of Haiti. And so we...
Interesting name that they chose, huh? Parole.
Yeah, parole. And this is something they've been actually, my understanding is they've done this with other countries, and now they've agreed to include Haiti in that process. But so they did, and I think some people have come from Haiti through that program. And so we applied and started that process. But we're getting strung along. And just strung along. And I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, this is in your hand. And so then I begin to wonder, and there's other Haitian friends that I have here in the country, in the United States, who have applied for family members through that program. And they're not getting any response from that either. So, but the goal of that isn't just, like you said, to pull them out of a bad situation in Haiti, even though it is very bad over there right now. But the goal and the U.S. goal of that program is to give them that experience here for 2 years. They can come, and then they have to go back. And if they follow that process, then it shows that the program is working, that the U.S. is offering. Mm-hmm. What happens is Haitians historically have taken advantage of different programs that U.S. has offered, and they don't follow the rules,
right.
And then they stay here as illegal.
Right.
They stay here illegal. So under our auspicism of ministry and our goals, they'll follow the rules, or we're not going to include them in the program.
Which is an exciting partnership for us, too, because
right.
we see this, and this is a great example of ministry locally, the Party of Christ,
right,
engaging other countries, mm-hmm. helping our country, helping their country, and doing it right. And so that's an this is an interesting concept, and it really is fascinating.
Right.
It's changed my view of immigration,
right?
Not completely, but in some ways to actually talk about there are really, really good things about creating the appropriate doors for
right.
people to go through,
right?
Right. So.
And it's good for a country like that. People, you know, historically, Haiti has not used help appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
But there are good people, good leaders, that if we get them in the right place, and I mean good leaders in Haiti,
mm-hmm.
good men, good women in Haiti, that want to take the country to a better place, but they just have to have that opportunity. Some of these children that are growing, even in our orphanage,
mm-hmm.
are very, very sharp kids, very smart mm-hmm. kids, very high grades, very academically capable of becoming whatever God wants to use them for.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's our goal. That's our goal, is to for these people to find and to know the skills and the talents and the gifts and the abilities God has given to them so that they can succeed. They don't need America.
Yeah,
they just need God. They just need to believe God to work these things out in their lives to be successful in their country. And it's not just about money and stuff, but it's about fulfilling God's purpose and plan for their life in their country.
Well, and you've seen, it sounds like at least in this section of the country that you're working in, it sounds like there's revival happening, right? I mean, part of those people are maybe out of complete need and necessity. We're all praying. We're all praying
right,
for that
right,
to be happening
right.
in America as well, too.
Right.
But what an amazing thing to think about being a part of changing a country from spiritually from the inside out. Wouldn't that be amazing?
That's right. This is ground level ministry we're seeing take place in that region, you know, in our
yeah.
little piece of Haiti, you know.
Yeah.
And it is. There's a lot of people coming to Christ. There's a lot of people that are being discipled, not just getting saved and, you know, expecting God for a miracle mm-hmm. on every little, around every corner, knowing Christ and seeing these things develop within their life is the miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And we miss that, you know.
It is.
That's the miracle, right?
It's amazing. Well, and what I would say, one of the things, in fact, when a couple of our staff heard you were coming today for the podcast, they're like, anything new about the kids?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one of the things that would be exciting for me is this cultural change.
Right.
And again, it's not that we're trying to change them, although there's aspects of that. The reality is it would be great for teenagers in America
right.
to see what it's like to live a life where you get an opportunity and you follow it through. I would love for our kids, get good Christian kids, good kids that love Jesus, to see what it's like to have to do something like this to be able to be successful. Great. There's a reason that the greatest generation, our previous generation than us,
right.
was great.
Right.
It was because of hardship and because of discipline and discipleship. Mm-hmm. So, Brian, this mm-hmm. is really good stuff. I'm pretty excited. Now, I want to ask you a question. I don't know if I've asked you this before, but I've always heard the story about that at one point you know, Haitian leaders somewhere along the line sold out to the devil, and that's one of the struggles. That is that a true story? Do you know anything about that? I mean, I've heard that over and over. I'm not sure. I might have heard that mostly from the Dominican Republic, you know. But
that's true.
But is there truth to that story, that that some of the darkness there is clearly based on leadership giving over to the enemy?
Well,
you don't have to answer it if you don't know that. I'm just curious.
Here's my personal opinion.
Okay.
There's some historical stuff about that I've heard. I don't know all the history behind those sayings. I do know that they cling a lot to the voodoo beliefs, which are satanic.
Right.
And they've given themselves over to that as a country as a whole. Mm-hmm. But... And just a side note, today the fastest growing religion, if you want to call it that, the fastest growing religion in Haiti right now is Christianity.
Yeah.
And so the voodoo perspective is scrambling.
Yeah.
To a certain extent.
Cool.
Over that. Okay. But what happens is in Christianity, voodoo is kind of, the Christianity can be integrated with voodoo.
And watered down.
So that's a lot of the discipleship that we're facing, right? But to me, the sellout in corruption and wealth, the leadership there sells out to wealth for themselves.
Yeah.
And to me, that's selling out to the enemy. Absolutely. That's my own personal take on it, right?
Well, it's almost like a poverty spirit, right? In other words, it's driven by the demonic spirit. And we see that in pockets of America where even people that have resources want more or feel like they don't have. And so everything's driven around how can I not be poor? How can I not have things those kind of things. So,
and so government there, they sell the people down the pike. Mm-hmm. And to take care of themselves. And I hate to say that. That's America.
Yeah.
That's American government. And I don't want to be critical towards the government. But that's the reality. That's the reality of nations. I mean, you can go to whatever country you want to go to. And they want, they don't live in our world.
Yeah.
In other words, government leaders don't live where we live. Okay. And that's the same way in Haiti. Those government leaders in Haiti are the wealthy of Haiti. Okay. And they're not living in the same Haiti that the majority of 11 million people of that country live in. Hmm. And so where they sell out is to the devil's system.
Yeah.
To keep people poor.
That makes sense. Well, and I've got to think that one of the reasons you guys are successful is because you're modeling servant leadership, sacrificial giving, the very opposite of that spirit, right?
Right.
Which is, again, when we do spiritual warfare, the thing that we need to do with territorial spirits and everything, it's the opposite. It's the God's model. So, Brian, this is fascinating. As we think about wrapping it up here, is there anything else that you want to share? I am so excited to have a follow-up podcast with one of our graduating Haitian seniors. Maybe that's not a presumption statement. Yeah. That's just wouldn't that be exciting? And have you on and talk about, remember back in the old days when we were talking about this, I'm so excited to be thinking about some things like this. And that involves other things. Like we talked about ESL, and workers. I know that there's all kinds of interesting things going on there, but anything else that you want to wrap up with, Brian, as you
think? Well, I just want to, you know, thank the people that there may be people listening that help support this mission.
Oh yeah.
And those that this is brand new to you, I encourage you to pray for the country of Haiti and know that there are a lot of missionaries that may have pulled out of Haiti, but they are still very much alive and working hard to further the gospel of Jesus Christ, and trying to bring a hope and opportunities to those that want to learn and grow. So do pray for our ministry. Pray for the future of the future opportunities that we're working on to possibly bring some of our children here, and to give them that opportunity, which is only going to enhance the future of Haiti, Northwest Haiti, where we're working specifically. And also pray for our ministries here at Champion, pray for our ministries at Eagle Ranch, just all that we're trying to do to help and disciple and encourage people through the struggles that we all face right here in America.
Absolutely. So, Brian, if somebody would want to support or get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that? Do you have a website and emails, or how would you do that?
We have a website, which is simply Eagle, R, which stands for ranch, M stands for ministry. So eaglerm.org. And you'll see all kinds of video, all kinds of different things about the ranch there and of Haiti, and gives you the opportunity to give and to pray for us. All our updated information goes into that website. We're on the Facebook. You can find us just under Eagle Ranch, and check out the Facebook. We have a YouTube channel, all that good stuff where our videos are. But we'd love to hear from you if you have any questions.
Absolutely. And just a reminder, if you're interested in connecting with us at the center, it's info@champion.org, and our website is www.champion.org. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But Brian, normally I ask our guests to pray, but if it's okay, I think I'm going to pray today, if that's okay, all right for that's for fine. You mm-hmm. and for a couple of these kids that are stuck in the immigration system. Okay. And mm-hmm. and just for all that. Brian, I don't know if we touched on it today, but Brian is a pilot. So, if he does fly, and he does do all kinds of interesting things. So Brian's a great guy. So let's pray, Brian.
Thank you.
So God, I thank you for Brian and his, Lord, the work and the way you've called him, and Father, for his obedience, for he and his wife's obedience. Lord, I know at this new stage in his life, since he's lost his wife, and Father, that in ministry, that you've taken him on new levels and new places to go. And it's really exciting to hear and to watch. Father, we pray for the nation of Haiti right now. Lord, I know that that's a big prayer. And pray specifically for their ministries there. Lord, for the kids that are in this, in the orphanage, and the church ministries that are going on. Father, the just the many things that you're doing there. I pray, Father, that you would continue to expand their borders. God, give them wisdom and discernment about how to impact their community and their country. And Father, how to train up these kids. Lord, we would also pray for this potential relationship with Champion High School. Lord, that Christian High School, that we could maybe be a part of this in these kids' lives, and for these couple of kids that are in the system. Give our congressman discernment about how to follow through with that. And Lord, we'd just like to follow you in that path and how that could impact everybody, both us and them. And Father, for the future of that. Lord, I thank you for your love for your people. And it doesn't matter what country we're in, where we are. But God, help us to have a broader vision of how you could use us. I thank you for Brian's example of just following your heart. And so, God, I pray that you would raise up more of us that would be able to do that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Brian, thanks for being here. For those of you out there, just a reminder, I'm Dr. Merle Skinner. This podcast you can find out on our website at www.champion.org/podcast. There's multiple things that are going on there. We're focusing on kingdom and family and culture, and we're looking forward to do more. A couple upcoming guests. We have going to be talking with Mark and Debbie Witt, who run local ministry here. But much like we talked about with Brian today, that one of the conversations there can be, how do you do this long term? How do you stay in ministry long term? Because it's a hard thing to do. We've got some other things that are coming up that should be fun. Talking about giving back for people who are ready and a point in their lives where they've taken care of themselves and their family. How do you do legacy giving? How do you make sure that the resources that you have impact the future long beyond your passing. So lots of good stuff coming. Check us out on the web. Let us know what you think. One fun thing about doing a podcast is that people don't usually call you and say, hey, just listen to your podcast. It was really great. So we never know. Nobody might hear it, but Brian and I would love to hear. So we're at that age where we can handle a little tough feedback, huh, Brian? So thanks for Ryan and the engineering and for everybody that's a part of this. See you next week.